This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to rule on affirmative action programs and higher education in the coming weeks. One of the two cases before the court alleges Harvard's policy discriminates against Asian Americans. But according to a 2022 survey conducted by APIA Vote, 69% of Asian Americans usually support affirmative action policies. So where are Asian Americans in this debate, and how do they feel about the legal fight? Here to give some insight is WBEZ higher education reporter Lisa Phillip, who's been covering the issue. Now, in your latest story, you write that Asian American college applicants have been, quote, cast as victims of affirmative action, often unwillingly, end quote. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to this poll that you mentioned, and poll after poll that's shown support among Asian Americans for the policy of affirmative action. I think there's a lot of misperceptions out there about what affirmative action is.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think it involves racial quotas, but that's not used anymore.
Yeah.
It's really used as like it's race is considered as a whole part or a part of a student's whole package, let's say. And then there's this misperception out there that Asian Americans are largely critical of affirmative action and that they've in some way been hurt and they've lost an advantage in favor of that's instead preferencing like Black and Latinx students.
Yeah.
And there isn't much truth behind that, but it's definitely become part of this narrative that's been put out there.
And for the story, you spoke with Oyon Poon, who's a local higher education researcher and activist. And you talked about the Harvard case and the second case against the University of North Carolina. Here's a little bit of what she had to say.
Every time I go talk to a group of people about these cases, I always start by asking, how many of you think Asian Americans are suing Harvard? And almost every hand goes up. And then I show a picture of Ed Blum. And then people are very shocked that they've been bamboozled.
She mentioned Ed Blum there. Who is he and why is he leading cases against Harvard and UNC?
Yeah, so Ed Blum is a white man, notably, and he is a conservative legal activist who's been known for a long time to oppose affirmative action policies. So policies that give some sort of preference or take into consideration, really, a person's race. So he's actually brought a case previous to these two current cases that alleged discrimination against a white woman by University of Texas, Austin. So he has this background and he's founded this group called Students for Fair Admissions that has brought these two current cases against Harvard and UNC, basically alleging that these race-based or race-conscious admissions policies are unconstitutional and disadvantaged. He's definitely co-opted Asian Americans into this part of his argument. And there are ostensibly some members of Students for Fair Admissions that are Asian, but
yeah,
the face of this organization and the leader of this organization is a white man.
Right. I mean, where is his claim coming from specifically, right, about the discrimination against Asian Americans? And is there validity to it?
Yeah. So it's hard to say. I mean, I think what is kind of tricky about this is that there's this aspect of the Harvard admissions case where the Students for Fair Admissions is alleging that they've put they're considering race, they're considering personality, and you have this sort of ceiling on Asian American students. It's hard to say whether that's actually happening. And, you know, by and large, affirmative action policies have been shown to help Asian American students.
How are Asian Americans responding? I'm hearing that a small number of folks in the community actually agree with the Student for Fair Admissions group.
Yeah. So Oyon talked about this because she's done a lot of research into how Asian Americans are actually feeling about affirmative action policies. And she found that, like, by and large, you know, a lot of people support the policies, but there's this very vocal minority of largely Chinese Americans, and they tend to be newer immigrants to this country. They've been raised in a culture that's, like, very much values meritocracy.
But they're
getting a lot of attention in their claims against affirmative action. So I think a lot of Asian Americans, though, are upset that they're being portrayed in this way. And a lot of, you know, Asian Americans have played a big role in the history of just racial justice movements and being a part of that coalition. So I know that Oyon Poon, especially expressed this just like this sadness over having her image be used in this way.
Yeah, let's hear from her again. In your story, you write about how in the 1980s, Asian Americans noticed their numbers at more selective universities really flatlining. Here she is talking about that.
Demographically, our country was continually getting more diverse. And so these young people asked for investigations into whether this was happening, an anti-Asian bias in favor of white applicants. However, what ended up happening was conservative politicians seized onto it and said, yeah, because of affirmative action, that's why Asian Americans are being harmed. And these young people, these young Asian American student activists were like, we never said that.
So what were Asian American student activists trying to say?
Yeah, so they were saying that basically these universities were giving white students preference over Asian American students and kind of putting a ceiling in place for them. And that got really mixed up and conflated. I mean, so conservative activists sort of seized on that to say, oh, it's affirmative action. These policies that advantage, you know, underrepresented minorities that are hurting Asian American students, when in fact they were asking for investigations and they actually got them. And there were findings that in some cases, Asian American students were being disadvantaged, but in favor of white students, not in favor of Black or Latinx students.
Oh, I see.
So this really, like, conservative activists were really leaning into these, like, model minority stereotypes of, like, trying to, Oyon, you know, said that it was sort of like trying to, you know, divide and conquer, really. Like, you're holding up this model minority, mm-hmm. these Asian Americans that, like, if you just work harder like them, you don't need affirmative action. So, you know, all of this got really,
which is why
really mixed
they're
up.
Saying that they're being painted as victims.
Yes, exactly. This
policy.
Exactly.
So where does it seem that the Supreme Court justices fall on the issue now?
A lot of folks are predicting that they're ready to overturn precedent and do away with the consideration of race in college admissions because of, you know, things they said during the arguments, the questions they were asking, and just based on past mm-hmm. decisions of this court. The policy was upheld as recently as 2016 with the case I mentioned against UT Austin. But
right.
It just seems like this time things might go differently.
Yeah, because if the court does end up siding with the Students for Fair Admissions group, I wonder what it means for schools and their affirmative action programs moving forward. Like, is there going to be a big change to the way these schools go about admissions?
Yeah, in the sense that they won't be able to consider a person's race, which when you think about it is a big part of a student's identity and has a lot to do with the kind of educational opportunities they had
Absolutely.
During their K-12 experience. So I know colleges are kind of looking towards other ways of getting at these things, but there have been studies done of, you know, what are the impacts and, like, does considering something like socioeconomic status substitute? And it really doesn't in terms of getting of a fair representation of our country's racial makeup. It really doesn't do enough. And in the states that already have bans in place, we've seen degree attainment amongst students of color drop.
And for the folks who want affirmative action to stay in place, what's the concern?
Yeah, the concern is that you're going to be cutting off access to a lot of folks, a lot of people of color, in that you won't, like I said, you won't be taking into account this very large part of their identity that's
their lived experience.
Yeah, their lived experience, their opportunity. And then there's like, how do you disregard a person's race? Like, how is that going to actually work on the ground? If a student brings that up in their essay, do we have to ignore it?
Like, pretend we didn't see it?
Do we pretend we didn't see it? So the actual like daily, just how will this work on the ground is
very sticky.
Yes, extremely sticky.
We've been saying, Lisa, that justices will have to make a decision by the end of the month. Any sense of when a final decision could be made here?
No, I mean, all I know is that sometime this month, I know like Oyon is like, I'm going to be on edge every Monday and Thursday waiting for this decision to drop this month, just so you know. So I know I will be too.
This episode of Reset was produced by Micah Yasin and was edited by Linnea Dominic and Stephanie Kim. Share your thoughts on this story and more by subscribing to the Reset newsletter. You'll get the big headlines in your inbox every morning and be able to join in on the conversation. Just go to wbez.org/resetnews to sign up. That's all for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.